Carter. My name is Karen Gardner, and I'm here with Frankie Martino. We are in Hudson, New York. It is June 5th, 2013, and we're doing an oral history interview for the Hudson Area Oral History Archive. Frankie, do you want to introduce yourself?
Frankie Martino. I'm 82 years old, born and raised in Columbia County.
Great. Frankie, do you want to tell me a little bit about where you're from?
I was born in Rossman, New York. That's in the, comes under the town of Scottville. In a paper mill district. Born at home. Went to school in Stockport, a three-room school. I went there for 7 years, and then we moved up to Rossman, and I went to a school that had running water and indoor facilities. I thought I was in another world. Yeah. And of course, from there, I went to high school for 2 years. And after that, I went in service. But as a kid, I grew up on a farm. And I worked for different farmers. As a young boy, I had two teams of horses, which the farmers used to pay me in harvest time to come with my horses and wagon. I was 11 years old, and I was recognized as a teamster at a very young age. And after service, well, I got married, and 48, and I went in service in 50. I got 8 years to my service credit, but I was released in 54, which at the time I went back to a job that I had before I went in service with the Edison Gas Works. We made oxygen and all sorts of explosives. And when I got him out of service, my dad had bought a bar, and I went back to my old job, plus working for him evenings. And I'd done that until 1969, when he passed away. And I've been here at this location ever since. Took care of my mother and family. And the rest of my life is more or less here in the bar room. I used to raise horses and break them. Rode motorcycles. Raced boats. I've done a little bit of everything in my time. That was my enjoyment. But now, my enjoyment now is playing golf. And I have a camper up in the Austerlitz over on the Massachusetts border, which I go to on a weekend and relax and hide away. I've met a lot of prominent people since I've been in business. I've had 3 movies shot here. And every one of them was great people to work with. Now I'm just kind of, I'm closer to the end now than I am the beginning. So I try to enjoy myself as much as possible. But I've had a very, very good young life. Worked all my life from a kid. And to me that was always great. Because I learned a lot from the old timers. A lot of it was hardcore, but it paid off in my later years. I didn't think it was right at the time, but it was. Now I don't go too far away from here. I take a 3-4 day vacation, go up in the Adirondacks with some of my buddies. We play golf up there and party. So, other than that, there's so much of my life that it's hard to explain a lot of it. Things I've done, good and bad. But I don't know what else to tell you. I probably could spend hours telling you stories. But had 6 children. 4 of them are still living. I lost 2. I got 10 grandchildren and 11 great-grandchildren. And I tease them a lot. I tell them I don't know who they are. They got to wear stickers because I can't remember their names. But they like Grampy. They like him when they need something. Go see Grampy. I love them all. They're good. I got a good family, all hardworking, good providers. Yeah. I don't know what else. Well, spent a lot of time in the VFW. Back in Steigen Falls, I helped build a building, pavilions. Now I'm too old to do anything. I just go and sit and look at it. Worked on 4 or 5 farms just to help people out. At the days when I was growing up, and a farmer or your neighbor needed help, you just went and helped them. You never accepted money. That was the last thing, because it wasn't that plentiful, and you'd done it because you enjoyed doing it, and they were good people. And as years pass, it comes back on you. Good things will come back at you. You probably don't realize it, but when it does happen, if you stop and think, you'll know why. But, you never have enough friends. You got acquaintance, but they're not the same as a friend. I think I'm lucky because I, 3 of my best friends from childhood are still living. And they still come and see me, and I stop to see them when we come. So we kind of kid about it. You go 4 times 80, that's a good many years. And we still t tease each other. Yeah. Good people. We've helped each other over the years without a question. If the phone rings and any one of them says, I need some help, drop what you're doing and go help them. Because they'll only ask when they really need help. Yeah. They all turned out to be professionals. School teacher. One of them owned a big lumber yard. One of them was an investigator for the state. And, of course, after my working in the mill and my dad passed away, I've been a bar owner since 1969. And it's been a good life. Met a lot of good people. And here I am. Yeah, still have a dream, a dollar and a dream. I want to get out of this business now and find a little place to spend my last few years. And I want to raise some animals, bring back the farm years. Not big, just very small scale. So it may happen. You gotta have something to dream about. If not, it's a loss. You're a lost cause. Yeah. And keeps you young. Mm-hmm. I think I'm young till I try to get up in the morning. Takes a little while to get all the joints moving, but they still move. Yeah. I don't know what else to tell you.
Will you tell me about the bar?
The bar? Mm-hmm. I took it and I helped my dad since 1954. And he passed away in 69, and I ran it for my mother for a year, and then I bought it from her through a family plan, which she helped me get started. And I helped take care of her the rest of her life. I've had a lot of prominent people stop here. In the last few years, I've had three movie productions shot here. And every one of them was great people. Ironweed, Jack Nicholson and Merle Street. Merle Street is a wonderful woman. And I had Nobody's Fool, Paul Newman and Melanie Griffin. There's nobody that could even come close to Paul Newman. He's such a great guy. And Melanie Griffin was very nice. She was a lot of fun. And then I had Cake Eaters, which was a very small production. And Mary Stuart Masterson was the producer, which she is a movie star. And Bruce Dern was the male star in the movie. All great people. You never know that they, if you didn't know them, you'd never know they were prominent movie stars, because they all were very down to Earth. Yeah, I enjoyed them years. Howard Pratt, who played in the series with Sanford and Son, he stops here once or twice a year. He lives in Connecticut and he brings his wife over to go shopping. And I've had other prominent people stop. And makes me wonder, because I'm a little bar off the beaten path, and once they stop, they come back because they love the inside of it. It's all rustic. I've done the whole inside over. I've done the whole building over, really. Nothing fancy, just everyday things. My kids help me when I need help because I can't climb the ladders no more. So they come down and do whatever I need to be done. Very good kids. Yeah. But 6 days a week, back when there was a lot of industry here in town, the cement companies and ginger ale plant, they worked three shifts, and I used to open up 8 o'clock in the morning, and the bar would be full by 8:15 until about 10 o'clock. That was the midnight shift coming off, and then 3 o'clock in the afternoon when the day shift come off. They'd be here about 3:15, stay 2-3 hours. And then there was a midnight shift. And I've been running alone for 41 years. And I used to open 8 o'clock in the morning and close 2:30 in the morning. 6 days a week. Sunday was the polishing day. Had to get everything swept clean, in the corners mopped, so the place was shining for Monday morning. And for my first 5 months, the only time I left this building was to go down because I cashed checks for the working people out of the cement company, and I would go down once a week down to the bank to recash them. But I started on a shoestring, so I was kind of afraid to leave the building. So for 5 months I walked from here down to the Farmers Bank in them days. And they were very good to me. Very, very good. Yeah. Then little by little, the industries shut down or moved off, moved away. But it's a different era. I was selling beer, a glass of beer, for 15 cents. And now I sell it for $1, and I'm still cheap. So, but I don't really need anything anymore for myself. I'm satisfied with life. Do a little golfing and a little cruising around once in a while. But hang out with my buddies, picnics, but I don't travel anymore. Too tiresome. And of course I'm a bachelor, so I don't need much. I do have a lady friend, keeps tabs on me. Everybody tells me I need her. I need somebody to keep me straight. But she's a very good lady, very good. So that's about my life, hon. I can think of a lot of things. Little three-room school I went to. We used to take turns on carrying the coal to the stove out of the cellar. And they made you feel like you were somebody doing that. Had all to do to pick the bucket up, but you'd done it. And on a real cold day, we all sit around the stove. Had a lot of later years, you think about it, and it was good times. Good times. Outdoor facilities. So in the wintertime, you had to go outside. You didn't stay long. And a little hand pump out in front. That's where we got our drinking water. And it was good water. Today, I don't understand it, but they're buying their water out of a jug. I don't know what that's all about. But I feel that we are so conscious of trying to prolong our life that we're really hurting ourselves because we're not, our body isn't strong enough to fight off anything. As a kid growing up on the farm, you were dirty all the time. I mean, you took a bath at night in an old tub, but during the day when you're out in the field and the dust blowing, you're eating dirt, and we were always healthy. We just got the normal sicknesses, the mumps, the measles, chicken pox. And I had the chicken pox, and they put you in a room and kept you in the dark. They claimed so they wouldn't get to your eyes. That was the old-fashioned way. And they made a paste out of round soap, rubbed it all over you. It was terrible. But apparently it done the right thing. I don't have no pock marks. And then the mumps, oh my gosh. A lot of people don't realize it, but my grandmother used the grease from a woodchuck, which was a wild animal, and we ate a lot of woodchuck when I was a kid. And it's very good, prepared right. But she'd soak a towel in that and then wrap it around your neck. And it stunk terrible. But she says that would cure it. But I think what it was is it had such an odor, it took your mind off and your throat hurt. So, old remedies. A big remedy was vinegar. They use vinegar for everything, all kinds of sicknesses, and Grandma had a spring and fall tonic, and you didn't know when she was going to do it to you. And I used to hate to, I knew in the spring, oh man, she's going to do that again. She would take the sulfur from matches, grind it up. She made a paper funnel. She made you sit in a chair with your head back. And she would take and put that sulfur there and blow it down your throat. It was terrible. And then you had to take a big spoon of black molasses. That was, to wash it down. And I'll tell you what, don't be too far away from the outhouse. Of course, when that stuff took a hold, oh my goodness. But you know, it must have had some cure because I never got a cold as a kid. I mean, spring and fall, especially in the fall, you're running around, it's cold outside. Instead of putting your jacket on, you just ran from the house to the barn. We never got a cold, and I always laid it to that terrible stuff Grandma gave me. But it worked. She said you have to be cleaned out twice a year. Well, God bless you, Grandma. It sure did. Yeah. Like going to her house, though, really. There always was a pie or a cake sitting on the cupboard, in the cupboard. And, Graham, can I have a piece of pie? Don't you tell your mother. Don't worry, I won't. Yeah, Grandma was good to us kids. Well, I was the only kid, so. They treated me like a grown-up. I had 10 cows I had to milk in the morning before I went to school. And the faster I got my chores done, the quicker I got my breakfast, and up the road I went. Yeah, morning and night, 7 days a week. There was no such thing as a weekend off, because every day was the same. If it wasn't for church, we wouldn't even know when Sunday came around. But that was one thing. And they used to make us go to church, kids. Yeah. But now that I'm old, I miss the farm. And all the farms over in the Gett area that I used to help pod, there were 7 of them, right in a row, one right next to the other. They're all gone. And it's sad when I ride through there now and look at the terrain and see all houses sitting all over the place and no more farms. And worked hard, but you had a lot of fun. I think that's what's wrong with the younger generation today. They got too easy a life. And the parents make it too easy for them. And I'm almost sure it's because the ones that had hard times don't want to see the children go through any hard times. So we overdo it, thinking that we're doing a great thing, but a lot of times you're harming things. Yeah. I got a sleigh for Christmas one year. Greatest thing that ever happened. My mother said, "Well, when are you going to use your sleigh?" Well, I don't want to take it out there and get it all rusty. So the first winter I got it for Christmas, I wouldn't take it out. I didn't want to get all dirty. Yeah. Back then, that was a big thing, boy, you get a sleigh for Christmas. Most generally, you got a new pair of shoes and some socks. And popcorn. Popcorn molasses balls. They were good. Some of them was molasses, some of them was honey. The honey ones was the best. Yeah. Good days. Yeah. I think that's about it, hon. Unless you want to ask me some questions, I don't know.
Will you tell me a little bit about Hudson?
Well, I didn't come into Hudson until, well, I used to take music lessons. And I came in from the Stockport area, Albany bus. I would catch the bus, come to Hudson here, take music lesson. The bus was 15 cents. My music lesson was 50 cents. And my mother would give me a dollar, and I better bring the 20 cents home. Change. Or sometimes she gave me just a change. I mean, there was no... And it was a great thing in them days because money wasn't that plentiful. But sometimes my music teacher wouldn't be feeling too good. So he'd tell me, he said, don't tell your parents, but you don't have to take a lesson today. Then I'd go to the movies. The movies was the Star Theater, all Westerns. And I had cartoons, the news, and always had a cereal. 12 cents to go to the movies. And that was a big thing. Of course, when I was on the farm with my cousin, I helped him out quite a bit, Alfie McCagg. And on a Friday evening after chores and had a bite to eat and took your bath, we would come to the Hudson and go to the movies. After the movies, there was an ice cream parlor down on 2nd Street, on a corner of 2nd. The name of it was Fatty Fiola's. And homemade ice cream they made. And the treat was a banana split. 25 cents. Three big scoops of ice cream with all the toppings and a whole banana, not sliced, a whole banana. Boy, couldn't wait for that. That was the treat about every third week. That was the treat for the days you put in working. But, and the streets were different then. You didn't have to worry about anything. You could walk the streets all night long and nobody bothered you or cared. Of course, the cops, they were great guys. Aren't you supposed to be home? Well, you better say, well, no, I can stay out late. Because if you say yes, they would whack you with a stick. And the behind, well, get gone. And it was a thing, they looked over you. They watched you. But I went to high school in Hudson High. And that was all by Albany to Hudson bus. It didn't come to your house. I walked from where I lived in Stuyzen Falls at the time, just about a mile, no more than that, to the main highway to get the bus. They didn't come and pick you up. You went and picked them up at the... And that was good. They were good bus drivers. They watched over you if you got too smart. they'd put you off the bus, make you walk home. In them days, they didn't care, you know, there was no such thing as, and if you had to walk home, you better walk fast, because when you got home, they want to know how come you were late coming home, you know, and don't lie, because somebody saw you and they'll squeal on you. Yeah. That was very good days. Yeah. I played in the band and orchestra in Hudson High School. I could have went to Kinderhook High School, but Hudson had a better music chance of learning more from the teacher in Hudson, Mr. Phillips. Yeah. Then I had my own band for 3 years. Used to play all around. 16 years old. You could play then in bars and restaurants. Of course, you didn't get anything to drink or anything, but you could play. I had Frankie and his Golden Notes. There was five of us. Yeah. And got $4 an evening for playing. That's a lot of money. Well, it was to us. 16 years old. Two of the fellas that played with me, they come from kind of poor families, so that $4 come in real handy. Yeah. Turned it down when I went in service. I turned down band and orchestra, and that was one of my mistakes. They lived pretty good in service. But I thought I was a tough guy. I wanted to go overseas. Till I got over there and realized what a stupid move I made. But young and full of vim and vigor. I don't know if I tell you, I used to raise horses and break them and show horses in parades and all that. Yeah, that was great. I had 9 at one time in my garage. I had a big garage. But yeah. All summer long, worked for them horses. Of course, I miss that too. I figured it was time to give up when it was taking too long to heal after you got throwed. That was a young man's sport. That's about it. I think I said that before.
Will you tell me a little bit about the music you played?
The what?
The music you guys played.
Music?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, back in them days, you had to play everything. You played waltzes. When they wanted to waltz, you had to play a waltz. Rumba, tango, polka was big. Barn dances was big, but when they came up and asked for a certain song, 9 out of 10 times you had to know how to play it. It's not like today. I don't understand the music today. I mean, because I don't understand what they're saying. But I played the sax and clarinet, and you better know how to play the song or you didn't get hired back. But I had a good little group. I think I'm the only one left now out of it. The rest of them's passed on. And we played after a basketball game or a football game in high school. The Red Caps. Yeah. And then I had to catch a bus, the 11 o'clock bus out of Hudson, going to Albany. And if you missed it, then you walked home. And that's, you're talking 8-9 miles. Very dark at night. They didn't have street lights all the way up through. And you heard all kinds of noises. Of course, there was farms up through there, and apple trees and that. And if a twig broke because of the wind, you took off running. You imagined that there was somebody in the woods. Yeah, they kept you in shape running. But that, when you missed it, and a lot of times I was alone going up through there. But you were scared, but you wasn't scared. You know, you knew better, but still, you imagine it would run away with you sometimes. Yeah. I worked in 2 paper mills up here. My godfather owned one. That was a Stockport Paper Company. And I worked in the one up in Rossman, New York, here, just up the road a ways. That was a Midvale Paper Company. And those people worked hard in them mills. Very hard. I got 65 cents an hour, which was pretty good money at the time. Yeah. Then I went to work for Thomas A. Edison Gas Industries. Went to work driving truck for him. $1.05 an hour. I used to run to Watertown, Massachusetts. Fast as I get over there and back, get in another truck and go over and come back. So make a good week's pay sometimes. Yeah. Which, that was 1949. That was pretty good money. And I worked along with the bar here. I worked 14 years in construction with a cousin of mine, FJ&R, right out of Columbia County here. And a lot of blacktop and concrete work, pipe, laying pipe, sewer lines, water lines. I enjoyed all that. Had my own little construction business before I came in this business. Sideline. My wife used to get a little upset with me because I was a workaholic. Something had to be done. I had to stay there until it was done. But took care of the family. They didn't want for much. Of course, I stop and think about it, we had a lot more than most people did. Right? The kids, I had the horses, and the kids could ride anytime they wanted a horse. And a lot of kids didn't have that. They all had bicycles, fishing poles. They'd done a lot of fishing. The kids were good fishermen. Where are they? I come home from work, Where's the kids? You know they're down the creek fishing. Oh, okay. And they knew chores, had to do chores. They'd take off and go fishing, stay long enough until I got them done, then they'd come home. They thought they were pulling something on me all the time. Good kids, though. Good. Yeah. They're hard workers. All got a job. I figured one of the boys would stop today, but he's probably working yet. My oldest one is he's got his own business. He's a special investigator. And the other two boys are carpenters, contractors. And I got a daughter. She works with the little kids. Our little mentality, she's been doing that for 30 years. Told her, I said, I don't know how you do it, girl. She loves them all. She loves every one of them. Yeah, she's my one that picks on me all the time. Don't do this and don't do that. And you take your pills. And yes, yes, yeah. Susan keeps an eye on me. She's got me all straightened out. Yeah. It's reversed. That was my questions when they were small. Now it's their questions. Yeah. There's some of them up here on the wall over there. Yeah. Hudson was a great place when I was a kid. All the stores up and down the streets. Of course, naturally, there was two ice cream parlors. Yeah. And, well, Veslo's was one of them, which the grandson runs the candy, Veslo's Candy. Up here. And his grandparents... had a store, ice cream parlor, down street. They made homemade ice cream, which was very good. Yeah. Gosh, there was, I can remember four drugstores in town here, and one of them had a ice cream fountain, McKinstry's. Drugstore, and we used to take turns going to different places. Yeah. Gosh, there was three movie houses, and if you were fast enough on a Sunday, you could go get to all three of them and watch a movie. I used to race boats, too, down here at the Hudson. I used to race, they called it buoy racing. Went from one buoy to the other number of times around, they clocked you. Yeah, I had a good, fast boat. I still got my motorcycle. It's old like I am, but I don't ride no more. The old bones hurt so bad I can't get on it. And my son, he's got it stored away. He won't ride it. He bought himself a new one. And two of my boys ride. Son-in-law, he rides. went from horses to motorcycles and speedboats. Like I say, I've had a good life. A lot of bad things, but if you think about it, the good things will override the bad things. You think more of the good times and you try to wash the bad times out of your head. Yeah. And I got all beautiful customers here. I don't put up with no nonsense. And anybody that stops here, I'm very fortunate because they fall in love with the place and they come back. And ladies aren't afraid to come here. They don't have to worry about anybody bothering them, because I don't put up with that. And I can tell when you want to be bothered and when you don't want to be bothered. So, but all in all, I got great people. I can seat 100 people at the bar 10 at a time. I have a Christmas party every year for the customers. Sit around and plenty of food to eat, have a little music. Then we all sit around and tell lies. I think I ran out of stories, hon.
Will you tell me about the name of the bar?
That what?
The name? Why is it Iron Horse?
Oh, the original name of this place was the Steak Grill. And the gentleman that opened it after Prohibition, or just before Prohibition, he opened this. And he went up to Albany to buy glasses and chairs, and he just seen this neon sign laying there. It said Steak Grill, so he bought it and just hung it up. But when Nobody's Fool production came here, according to the book, the story, the bar that Mr. Newman frequently went to was the Iron Horse. So they took my sign down, built this sign, the Iron Horse, and everybody liked it because of the railroad tracks that runs by here with the train. So when they got ready to leave, it was 10 below zero outside. And the guys were setting up the ladder, and I said, by the way, fellas, I said, is there any chance I can buy that sign? He said, you want it? I said, yeah. It's yours. That you just saved our life. Man, it's cold out there. So that's how I got the sign from the movie, Nobody's Fool. And, of course, I left it there. And everybody... And it's been a good thing because of the movie. They seen it on them telephones and all that stuff, and the people that are traveling will detour to come here to see where that movie was made. So it's been good to me, that sign. Yeah, they were very glad that I asked for it. And all summer long, somebody's taking a picture. They come in and want to know when the train's going to come by. Well, there's no set schedule. It's whenever the grain comes in from out west. So if they come up in the morning, then I know they're going to run all day long. I'll tell them, And they'll sit here and wait for the train come so they can take pictures of the building and the train coming up the tracks here. So, like I say, the sign and the movie was a big help to me. And they still come here wanting to see the place. Yeah. Oh, and I'm also in the archives in Hollywood. What they do is they take pictures of this building. And they asked me if they could put it in the archives, and naturally I said, sure. And when they're making a movie, and they need an old building back in the 1800s. They go through the book and they see it, they go, there it is here. Now, that's really how I got Paul Newman here, is they needed an alley scene of coming out of the bar and on their pickup sitting in the alley. And they went through the book and they spotted this. And that's how they came here. Ironweed, which was my very first one, they needed a old building like this. Of course, I wasn't in the archives then, but Ironweed, the book was written in by Mr. Kennedy in Albany, and he wanted the movie to be within the Albany area, and they needed a building with a side entrance going up to an apartment, and that's how I got it here. They found this place, and of course Mary Stuart Masterson, she used to stop here because she's got a summer home in Columbia County here, and of course, she knew the movies were shot here, so she used to stop here. So when she produced the movie she did, they had to have a little bar scene, so she came here because she liked the place. But I'm in the archives in Hollywood, so for a little off the beaten path bar, I'm pretty popular around. Yeah. I used to have a golf tournament every year, the Iron Horse Open, we called it. And I done it for children with incurable diseases, donation. And I ran it for 10 years, and I gave away over $30,000. To families that, because we kept no profit, whatever we made. And the one year there we felt a little short, so I put the balance in to make it a $3,000 year for them. But I had a lot of help, a lot of ladies. And back then I sponsored a ladies' softball team. And over half of them helped put it on, and they actually are the ones that started it, and I just had to sponsor it. But it was great to see that you could help somebody. Yeah, good times. It all was honest because there was no money involved in prizes. Everything was a gift certificate or, you know, something like that. But I don't think, maybe one out of Columbia County here that didn't donate something to it. You know, a gift certificate, some of them give me a check. Geez, I had one outfit that builds refrigerators for campers and all that. He gave me a refrigerator, and I got bicycles, and it's amazing. The minute they you show them what you're, why you're doing it, then they more than gladly to donate something. And I didn't care what you donated. If you could donate a dollar, okay, that was fine. Yeah, we had a lot of good times. First, my beer companies, they were good to us. They donated the beverages. Soda company, they donated. So, most of the money, 90% of the money was made over the raffles and gifts. Yeah. The old Iron Horse Open. I don't know what else to come up with.
Shall we?
Okay.